Lord God, it's a delight, it's a very joy to welcome you, first of all, here in our presence. You are with us, whether we feel it or not. And so, Lord God, thank you. Thank you for being three in unity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Thank you for being one, all at the same time, one in unity. Lord God of heaven and earth, we worship you. Lord and Heavenly Father, show us your glory today. God, for those of us who are in distress, who are in pain, addiction, in disease, Father God, in your compassion, please comfort us and help us. For those of us that are too comfortable, we are struggling with mediocrity, maybe some of us struggling with doubts. In your love and mercy, please purify and help us, your sons and daughters. Lord, please receive, bless, and multiply these offerings, tithes, and gifts for your honor, for your glory. We give them to worship you. We give them to bless you. So we pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Larry and John, if you gentlemen would hand out, please take an outline since it won't be on the screen. Even if you don't use it, that's all right. The main reason I wanted them handed out is toward the end of the message, there's really an important, there are five words that begin with E. Now, it's not because they're alliterated or it's alliteration that I want you to have it. I didn't come up with these words, but it's going to review the five purposes for God, the Lord Jesus Church. That's for you and me, anyone who's trusting in Christ as Savior and Lord. We're part of the Lord's Church. If you're not part of the local church here at PBF and you're looking for a church, you're welcome to check us out. But even if you're not part of a local church, when you're trusting in Christ as Savior and Lord, you're part of the church of Jesus that's all around the world, all true followers of Christ. And so I'll comment on those five purposes at the end. So thank you, men, for handing them out. And men and women, thank you for receiving them. In addition to that, thank you for singing to Margie and me. The exact date that we got married was April 19th, 1975. Now, for you history buffs, okay? Well, our wedding, it's not in history books, so, well, not that I know of. But that date, April 19th, 1975, is the 200th anniversary, now this is true, of the Battle of Lexington and Concord, okay? That's, oh my, yeah, 200, we didn't get married that day, Larry, in the Revolutionary War. I just wanted to clarify that. I'm older, but I'm not that old. But it was the 200th anniversary of the Battle of Lexington and Concord, which was quite a significant battle. And I thought it was rather special to be married on the 200th anniversary of a battle. So we've been loving each other ever since. And every now and then, you're giggling, Larry. And every now and then, I'm just kidding, I'm having fun. Every now and then we had our battles too, okay? And Margie is very much like Ruth Graham. Ruth Graham, Ruth and Billy Graham are both with Jesus. But Ruth Graham was, and they loved each other dearly, Ruth and Billy. And she was asked once, I think by a reporter from the New York City area, because he was doing a big outreach meeting there. And she said, or the reporter asked her, did you ever consider divorcing Billy? She looked up and said, no, never divorce. Murder once or twice, but but not divorce. So when you think of it, that's really not that funny. So
I don't think Marge is like that.
Thank you, Melissa. So, promises and person of Jesus Christ. Today's promise we're looking at, if you're not there yet, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28 or your electronic devices. Matthew chapter 28, we're going to look at one paragraph, the last five verses of Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. And these verses are some, not the very last words, but some of the last words that Jesus said at the end, after he resurrected, at the end of his earthly ministry. So this is on the screen. So either follow in your Bibles, computers, or on the screen. Now the 11 disciples, now why weren't there 12? Well, sadly, Judas, after he betrayed Jesus and after the Last Supper, went out and took his own life. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, for those of you who have wondered in the past, I just want to comment on that last verse of this paragraph. Have wondered, Pastor Mike, why do you pray? Because not always do leaders, men or women, who are leading in prayer at a church that's sometimes known as an evangelical church, do people pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Not knocking it. It's just not always that common. And for various reasons, I believe. But here's my reason for at least once in every worship service, praying in those three names, one God, three, is the triune God is totally involved, and I'll comment on this later when we get to the section of the message, but totally involved in our salvation and in the activities of the redemption, the activities before time and since time began. The Father, God, designed the plan. He decreed it. The Son, Jesus, carried out the plan. Now, in the Old Testament, they had festivals and sacrifices to picture the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the perfect Passover lamb. Then the Holy Spirit, at the point that people trust in Christ as Savior and Lord, applied salvation to every one of us. In fact, he came in without the noise, but the Holy Spirit came into our very beings at the moment we trusted Christ as Savior and Lord. And so here it gives this beautiful formula for the baptizing of people. This is not Holy Spirit baptizing. This is water. And again, that's coming later in the message. And I find it so important and so significant for me and for you to be reminded of the triune Godhead and how he functions, moves for his honor and glory in our lives. I find that so significant that at least once every service, I pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So today, we're going to look, in fact, the message in the sentence is this. Excuse me. That we most experience Jesus' presence when we practice three priorities. There are three priorities in this paragraph, and we experienced most of all the presence of Jesus when we practice these three. That's important because The promise is, I am with you always. Jesus said that. Now let's get a reminder of who he is. He's the creator of the universe. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. And Lord means he's ruler and master, that he's king of all kings, and he's God of all gods, small g. There aren't many gods, but there are a lot of religions and a lot of people who believe that there are many gods. In fact, during the writing of the New Testament, much of it, all of it, Rome was in power. And the leader of the Roman Empire, the claim was he was God. The claim was he was Lord. And so it was no small step when people said, I'm going to follow Jesus as Savior and Lord. Because they were saying, Caesar isn't he, the Lord. Jesus is. That was a political, wasn't meant to be. They were just declaring followers of Jesus. It was a political slap in the face of Caesar. And they risked everything, possessions, their life. That's why they were put to death by the Romans. It wasn't because they merely didn't like these Jewish people, now they didn't, but especially because Jesus was Lord. Not only that, this Jesus who said, I'm with you always, is Savior. Remember, he's the only one who can forgive sin. Jesus' very name, it means that he will save his people from their sins. He was also Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, in Hebrew, the Mashiach, the chosen one. That's very significant. Jesus is also the Redeemer, the one who bought us from the slave market of sin. Emmanuel, God with us, the sovereign Lord, totally in control. And he promises his presence. Now, in this setting of Matthew 28, it says that Jesus came up and appeared to the 11. I believe it also says, well, I know it says, in 1 Corinthians, listen, it's known as the resurrection chapter, and it talks all about through the chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians that he resurrected, describes it, explains the significance of it, and in the beginning of that chapter, listen, it says, according to the scriptures, Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and according to the scriptures, resurrected. These are verses 3 through 6, actually 8. And then it gives appearances that Jesus made to individuals. Names. Peter, I believe Thomas is in there, if Thomas is, and James is. And it also says, plus he appeared to 500 or more followers. I believe, along with other Bible teachers, that at this setting, though it's not mentioned in Matthew 28, in addition to the 11 disciples, there were 500 there. You say, why do you believe that? Because in verse 17 it says, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now think about the 11. They had already seen him. We don't know how many days before, but X number of days before. This appearing of Jesus was between his resurrection and 40 days later when he ascended back into heaven. And The very first night, Sunday, that Jesus arose, he showed up at 10 of them. Thomas wasn't there. A week later, Thomas was there, and he said, I've put my hand in his thumb, in his nail prints in his hands, and then the gash wound in his side. Thomas then said, my Lord and my God. So the 11 disciples were fully believers in the resurrected Jesus. And so they weren't doubting. So as other people who were at this mountain that were struggling with doubts. So I believe it was 500. We're going to look at these three priorities now. What are they? They are follow Jesus, worship Jesus, hear Jesus. The first priority you see in verse 16. Jesus gave a direction. He designated, go to the Galilean region and go to a certain mountain. And he speaks it, and they follow Jesus. How and what did they follow? His directives, his word, his steps. Why did they follow Jesus? Because in verse 18 it said, listen, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. That word for authority is power, an existing power to do as one desires. Jesus' desires were always perfect because he was always following the Heavenly Father. And in the book of Matthew and other accounts, gospel accounts, it says this. Jesus had authority over demons. He had authority over Satan. He had authority over disease. He had authority in teaching the word. People would say when they hear him teach or read the word, the holy scriptures of the Old Testament, there's something about the authority of this gentleman. He had authority to move about. He had authority over, though he didn't tap into it, he didn't take over, he didn't form a political movement, but he had authority over the Roman Empire. He had authority over the Jewish priests and Pharisees and Sadducees and leaders. And this authority was both in heaven, all heavenly beings, good, obedient angels, fallen angels, wicked angels, demons, the devil. People who had died and gone to heaven had authority over them. He had authority over all on the earth, all dictators, all kings and queens, all people, those who claimed, remember, many people came claiming to be the Son of God in those days. He had authority over all of them. So that's why they followed him. That's why they went to the mountain, because they were submitting, bowing to his authority. That is very, very significant. And why do we still bow to it today? Why do we still follow Jesus? Because it's still true today. When he went back to heaven, it says that he sat down at the right hand of God. And listen, in Psalm 110 and in Hebrews chapter 10, it says that God, first person of the Godhead, who is Lord, the Lord said to my Lord, that's the Lord speaking to Jesus, sit on my right hand. The very deity of Christ is supported by where he sits in heaven. His authority was confirmed by his death and resurrection, because that means he has authority over the grave, sin, death, and hell. And so this priority of follow Jesus, because he is the one in authority, is no small matter. Second priority, worship Jesus. This is really wonderful. I love it. Verse 17, when they saw Jesus, what was the first thing they did? They worshiped him. It was all of them, plural. Personal worship is very special, but listen very carefully. Melissa said it well during the praise time. When we sense, when we are worshiping God together in singing, when we sense the presence of the Lord, when we sense his authority, there is something very special about that. There is something very special about plural, or this sounds a little cold, but corporate, or I'll say community worship. It's an inexplicable unifying factor. I'll be sometimes listening to Christian music while I'm driving, and there'll be only one in the car, not more than one drives. That'd be a little weird. I'm all alone. And I'll hear when it's a live song, you know, from a church or a concert. I can be so caught up in the sense of the unity of the Spirit that I'm hearing in that song being played, whether it's a DVD or radio, whatever the source, and I sense the Lord's presence. That's what was happening here. They worshiped him. And the word here in the original language meant to bow down and kiss the feet of. It was what they did in those days to prostrate themselves and fall before a king or queen and kiss the feet of, out of honor. And that's what these people were doing. It might have been even bodily, that they hit the ground and worshiped Jesus. And about X number of verses earlier in verse 9, same chapter 28, it says that people saw Jesus and worshiped him. There was some kind of automatic response of worship when the resurrected Jesus was seen. And that is his heart for the church today. That there would be my Lord and my God, and in attitude, and maybe at times, in fact, I would say probably at times, even in bodily position, hitting the ground, the floor, and saying, King Jesus, I bow to you. King Jesus, I humble myself before you. Oh, King Jesus, and we sense his presence in a fresh way. We sense his presence in a beautiful way. Even, remember that song, simply called Waymaker, isn't it? The song Waymaker? Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't see you, you're working, referring to God, Jesus. You never stop. You never stop working. See, there are going to be times, in fact, one of the fascinating things about this worship priority, it says, and some doubted. So we'll be in the middle of worship, whether it's praying. The other special time was that prayer time up here. Well, we prayed for about five different people. Five times I was ready to go back, and oh, there's one more. And it wasn't an oh nuts. It was, wow, this is significant. This is special. What's my point? With the middle, in the middle of worship, there are still doubts. I have had the weirdest and worst distractions right in the middle of worship services, where I've had to pray things like, God, help my focus. You know, I'm focusing on things. Has that ever happened to you? Focusing on people. Focusing on distractions, focusing on, this hasn't happened recently, but Margie and I have some of our best, maybe put best in quotes, arguments on the way to church. Any confessions? Yeah. The rest of you are looking so pious. I'd call you liars, but that's unkind. You're not liars. You're not admitting the truth, but what's my point? Doubts is vulnerability is part of worship. It's sort of like that, I think it's either a father or a soldier commander that said to Jesus, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Third priority. So the first one, follow Jesus. Second, worship Jesus. Third one, hear Jesus. Now, this isn't just hearing Jesus in order to get more facts. It's not like gathering more baseball cards in order to get more facts about baseball players. This is like getting to know a baseball player in person, Only Jesus isn't a magnificent baseball player. He's the very Son of God, God himself, King of kings, Lord of lords. And when we hear Jesus implied, and you say, where'd you come up with here? Verse 18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, and they were listening. And so hearing Jesus implies obedience. In fact, it implies observing all he commanded. And these men and women, when they obeyed him, is there a record of that? You better believe it. In Acts, the Acts of the works of the apostles, but it goes beyond apostles. It goes to all the men and women who are written about by Luke in the book of Acts. And we see obedient step after obedient step in Acts. And how about us today? What's the key to hearing Jesus and obeying? To see change? If you're married, ask your spouse, do you see growth in me? If they do, then they are seeing the result of you hearing Jesus, but hearing him in order to obey. Ask the question at a safe time, friends. Don't ask, do you see growth in me, while you're having an argument. That's not good. It just isn't, you know. You'll get, are you kidding? That's a discouraging answer. But ask it at a safe time. But ask them to be honest. A few weeks ago, I forget how many, it doesn't matter, Margie and I looked at each other, we're reading a book together, and had this honest conversation. And we had to admit to each other that we weren't feeling or sensing or even knowing a full connection. We weren't really ticked off at each other, but there was just this, wow, things are... That didn't mean we were backsliding, but what it did mean is there were probably some things missing in our lives of connection, not only with each other, but connection with the Lord. And so hearing Jesus and obeying him does not only apply to doing important things and significant things in church, but what it really means is living it out with your spouse, if you're married, with your children, if you have children, with your neighbor, whether single or married, with your coworker, classmate, you name it. It's actually what they're hearing Jesus say. This is really, really important. Please catch this. This is the paragraph you already know this, but it's important to remind, is known as Great Commission. Great Commission. And a lot of people believe the Great Commission is go. It isn't. The Great Commission is make disciples. That's the command in here. The command is make disciples. Actually, the word make isn't even there. It's discipleize. I think I'm coining a word. But I did put it in the outline. That's why discipleize is in your outline under priority 3. And then there's 3 participles: while going, baptizing, and teaching. The while going is, it's not a missionary call. Listen, while we're going to work, think how you can give God talk if you stop at a store. While going in the family, Deuteronomy says lying down, getting up, eating, sleeping. Impact your children for the Lord. While going here in the body of Christ, impact others for the Lord. While going, you get the picture. We don't have to go to Germany, Bangladesh, Chile, name the country, in order to follow this Great Commission. We simply evangelize, and all of the other obedient steps, hear Jesus and obey while going. Second one, baptizing. The formula says, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So if and when I would baptize anyone, whether here or another church, I'm not saying this is the only way, I'm just explaining. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I witnessed the baptism, I think, last summer. And a couple of you dads, it was beautiful, baptized your children, and you dipped one time, and that's fine. And you said, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But because of this passion that I sense from the Word to really demonstrate that all three are involved, I'll simply dip three times. By the way, just think about it. You don't. Every mode other than in, immersing or dipping, those who sprinkle, have you ever observed how many times they do it?
Three.
Those who pour, it's another method. They do it three times. It's not a knock. I've just always wondered, that's fascinating. And so we'll keep it at that. The third one, participles, teaching. Teaching to do what? To obey. Teaching to observe. And so there is then a sense of presence when these three priorities, when we worship Jesus, special sense of his unity and presence. When we follow Jesus, follow his directive, special sense of his authority and his presence. When we hear Jesus in order to obey, special sense of his presence. The promise includes, for those of you who like something to sort of hang your memory on or your hat on, it's all authority, all nations, all commands, and all the days. It is, and this is beautiful, literally, listen very carefully, literally, when it says that Jesus says, I am with you always, and this is a little awkward in the speaking, so I need to read it, but literally, this is what it's saying. And lo, I with you am. So Jesus is not only with us, listen, when he says, and lo, I, Jesus, with you am, he's not only with us, Dr. Sidlo Baxter says he's all around us, not only now and then, but all the days, not only when we feel it, he is with us and around us. When we don't see him, and right now we don't see him, nonetheless, he's present, he's hearing, he's watching, he's knowing, he's sympathizing, he's overruling. Let's not forget that when we do these practices, he is all around us. Never leave us, never forsake us, always with us. Why? Because there is spiritual warfare when we are following Jesus and we need his presence. There will be human fear because we'll become fearful or anxious that someone might think ill of us. We need the presence of Jesus. I need it, and so do you. Now, the five E's, these are the five purposes. Exalt, that's simply worship. They did it right there in verse 17. Praising God. Evangelize while going. Make disciples. That's all people. All nations actually literally means all ethnicities. Edify, to build up, that's discipleize. That's baptize. Let me ask you this. Since you have trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, all of us are adults here, well, except for the babies. All of us are adults in the room right now, those of you listening out in internet. Since you've trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, have you've been baptized. Because baptism is a confirmation of what took place inwardly. If you haven't, I encourage you, based on this scripture, to follow the Lord Jesus and tell someone, you know what, I'm thinking of baptism. That's edifying. That's being built up. Encourage, the fourth E. That's to put courage into. Encourage isn't a milquetoast, mamby-pamby, oh, we're just going to sing kumbaya law, sit around and hold hands. Kumbaya law, kumbaya. It's an old song. Encourage takes strength, takes boldness. It's fellowship. It's sensing, I belong. I belong either PBF, I'm in this with others. Some of my close friends understand when I share a deep thing about depression or wrestling with addiction and struggling with following Jesus. And I belong. I'm not ostracized. That's what fellowship is. And five, E word, equip. That's discipleize. That's serving. And all of that, all those five E's, the words aren't there, but the purposes are in Matthew 28. Why do I emphasize that? Here's why. Every one of us has a passion. Listen carefully. Every one of us gets psyched, gets impassioned for one or two, maybe at the most three of those five E's. Some of us, led by, this isn't to embarrass him, he's the leader of this team that sort of, COVID sort of put it on hold, Adam Maxey. Adam has a passion for special outreach. That's the E, evangelize. Some of us have a passion for building up teaching. That's the E, edify, or E, equip. Some of us have a passion for worship. E, exalt. You get the picture. And I want to encourage you to affirm the others with their other passions, but get involved in the area where you are impassioned, because that is probably God's wiring and will for you and your service. Everyone has a ministry. And some of us will emphasize numbers. Recently, I was with a group that was discussing, is it more about numbers? You know, we sent out this email about two services because we want to touch more people. And is it more about numbers? You know, we were discussing. Or is it more about, that would be quantity or quality? And I didn't say it that day because I wanted to hear what others were thinking. But I was thinking inside, the answer to that is yes. You get the picture. It's both and. It's not quantity and we don't care about how we're growing. Or we care about all we're growing in spiritual growth, in understanding the word and obeying it. But numbers, they're secondary. No, it's both and. How do I know that? Why did Luke in Acts 2:41 report 3,000 people being added to the church? He wouldn't have given the number. He really wouldn't have if numbers were important. Acts 4:4, and 5,000 were added. That's the numbers. Now, Acts, all chapters, shows boldness, shows willingness to suffer for the name of Jesus, shows holy confidence to declare Jesus. That's the quality of growth. You see Acts, and you go back to the gospel accounts. It reports how many Jesus fed, and it reports how the people were growing or not growing. It's not either or. It's both and. This presence of Jesus is meant to light a fire under you and me and have a church that is growing, maturing, and touching other lives. That's why I get jazzed to welcome new people. And I see and hear and watch you all doing the same. Way to be PBF. Keep inviting. Praise team, come on up. Let's pray. Lord, when I hit times of mediocrity, light a fire under me. When I hit times of discouragement, comfort me and remember you haven't stopped being with me. Lord, have your way in our lives right now as we sing, as we respond to you. Whether we're feeling it or not, may we sense, and when not feeling it, know that you're still with me. You're still with us. You're with us right now as a church. We pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.